how to avoid scheduling traps that kill your productivity. So these are really, really important, and they're also extremely common. And I coach people and consult with people all the time that make these mistakes. So I am here to help you not make them.
It is the featured topic of the week, and it is my absolute pleasure to say we have our guest geek back in the house with us today. It's Janae Spry, and she is back with another amazing productivity tip. If you've missed it before, she's come to us before with two amazing sets of tips that help you create your goals and align your calendar to make sure that you're actually getting things done in your business. Well, she's back again today with another fantastic tip. And without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Janae Spry.
Hey everybody, what is up? Janae Spry, productivity expert and growth strategist, and your host of this Doer Entrepreneurs Community. So today we're talking about how to avoid scheduling traps that kill your productivity. So these are really, really important, and they're also extremely common. And I coach people and consult with people all the time that make these mistakes. So I am here to help you not make them. One of the ways you can do that is by analyzing how you're scheduling and how you're doing things. And I have provided that planner that I provided last time right up top. So you can link that, grab that planner, and that will help you throughout this presentation as well. I've also linked the previous video in case you would like to watch that, but it's totally not necessary. So let's jump right in. So the very first thing that you might not be aware of, is that the first trap is missing out on peak energy and focus time. So in other words, it's extremely important to be aware of your energy levels and then any time you're at peak focus. So what that means is, for example, I'll take myself. I am not a morning person, guys. Not at all. If anybody here knows me really well personally, you know that that is true. I hit my peak focus around 10 a.m. So oftentimes I spend from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. or so, like researching, absorbing, and taking care of things, which then allow me to like really execute, create, strategize between about 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. So I get three amazingly productive hours in that time to work on my business and not just in my business, which is really, really important to me. So does this mean that I live in a world where this is true every single weekday and I never have a bad day, or I'm always able to schedule the perfect task for the perfect time and I always have 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. available, blah, blah, blah? No, I'm not a unicorn. And I was just listening to a podcast the other day where this guy was like, I'm so tired of these productivity gurus. They're acting like they're, you know, working like 1 hour a day or whatever, and nothing ever goes wrong. And the guy had kids. And so he was like, let me tell you what, if you have kids, like things go wrong all the time. And I'm here to tell you that I don't have kids, but I do have insomnia, I have anxiety, I have all kinds of fun things that sometimes just let me know that that day is not going to go as planned. But having a strategy that allows you to move things around so that you can really do the best you can every single time with what you have, that's really what is key. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Scheduling according to gurus on that note. So scheduling things when you think you should do them instead of when it works best for you. So I'm going to give you another example. And, you know, I don't want to harp on the morning person thing, but a lot of productivity gurus harp on waking up at like 5 a.m. And, you know, that's great if that works for you. Like if you're a morning person, if you can get that to work for you, awesome. And I really find that it's actually better to focus on self-awareness than to try to mold yourself into what works for someone else. You could think about this as the equivalent of a fad diet, except for productivity. So, you know, you might get yourself to do this for a week, maybe a month, hell, maybe even longer. But the reality is that it's really unlikely that you're going to stick to it forever because it just isn't you. So focus intensely on self-awareness and you will squeeze out a lot more productivity out of yourself than by trying to force yourself to wake up at 5 a.m. when you prefer to be in bed until 10. Like that is not a recipe for success. Another example, I have a friend of mine that is extremely productive, and he also has kids at home, and he actually sleeps in two shifts, which is like against all like expert anything talking about sleep. But that's what works for him, and it lets him spend time with his kids. And he also says this allows him to be really productive and also produce quality work. So, you know, it's always weird when I get emails from him in the middle of the night and the middle of the day, but that works for him. And he's self-aware enough to know that that is true. It works for him. It works for his clients. The best thing to do is just be constantly asking yourself, what went right, what went wrong, and how can I make it better? And again, I linked that planner above, and you will notice those questions are in that planner as well to help you every single week. And remember, progress, not perfection, right, guys? So the other thing that's really important to realize is that it's important to not schedule around your clients, okay? So I know that a lot of people are like, that's kind of what I do. And they might even feel like that's the right thing to do, but it's not. So some examples of what that looks like would be checking your email every few minutes, having notifications and sound on, even on your email, maybe on your phone so your clients can reach you at all times. They can interrupt you. So when you let other people control your time at all times like that, it's extremely difficult. You know what? I'm going to say impossible to be productive. So if you think about, as an example, really big companies and corporations and how they operate, guys, there's a reason that they're able to do what they do at such a large scale. And it's because they create workflows and systems and their clients follow those systems instead of the other way around. So I'm not going to suggest that you add like a press one for invoicing type menu to your voicemail. Please don't do that. Those are so annoying. But it's really important to train your clients on your systems and your workflows. If you don't want people expecting email responses from you after 5 p.m., stop responding to email after 5 p.m. If you feel like emailing after then, because that's what works for you that day, you can always schedule your emails to be sent during business hours so that you're not training your clients to contact you 24/7 or expect that type of response. When other people control your time, other people control your time. Other people control your productivity, and let me promise you, they do not care about your productivity the way you do. They care about theirs. So if you answer your phone all day and at any time of day, and that's how you are, and that's your most responsive from your client's perspective, guess what they're going to do? They're going to call you every time they have a question. Every time they have one question really quick, they're going to be like, oh, she's definitely going to answer. He's definitely going to answer. And they'll definitely answer my question. And it'll be, you know, that's easiest for me. So they might feel like this is great customer service, and in a way it is, because you're headed straight for working 24/7. And you know, the thing is though, it's a recipe for just straight out burnout. Okay. And it might work in the beginning when you have like two clients or something, you know, when you're building your business. But when you get so busy, you're gonna turn around and be like, how did this happen? Well, this is how that happens. So, you know, as a consultant, I used to get a lot of those like quick question phone calls or emails or texts or whatever, but I changed my process. So I let them know in the beginning that my time is billable in 15-minute increments. And that means that it's best for the client to group together their questions, their comments, their issues, so that they pay me less, right? That way it's not split up into 15 minutes to answer each question separately, right? They feel like that would be crazy, so they're going to combine them. And that allows me also to batch my time into the time blocks you saw in the last video. And again, that video is linked above if you'd like to watch that. If I was answering quick question emails and calls all day, that would be it. That's all I would ever do. I would never do anything else. And most importantly, I would not be serving my clients as well as I could. Okay. So that's really, really important. So they would be distracting me constantly. I would not be able to do my best work. And the truth is that if a client has a lot of quick questions, they're often served better by setting up a meeting at that point rather than going back and forth 20 times over email. They're going to be better served that way. So think about your workflow. So what works best for you, and how can you set your schedule up to serve your clients or work in your business most effectively so that you also have time to work on your business, because that's really what is so freaking key here, guys. Okay, so speaking of training your clients, the other scheduling trap is not training your clients to conform to your schedule or having a clear workflow for them. And trust me, even as the client side, it can be just as frustrating to be the client of a disorganized entrepreneur as it is to be the disorganized entrepreneur, okay? It's extremely frustrating. I've been on both sides of this and it's terrible. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. So in particular, I really see a lot of solopreneurs who, for example, will even say they get so upset, clients are contacting them in the evenings, on weekends. But then if I ask them, you know, what do you do when they call? And inevitably the person's like, well, you know, I respond because I don't want to lose that client. And again, a lot of this is from when they first started and they're having those like mental images of back when they only had two clients or whatever it is. But what you're doing is you are literally saying, hey, feel free to call me anytime, day or night, because I will absolutely happily respond to you. The way to stop this, guys, is to stop responding at these times. So if you're already in this situation, this is how you fix it. If you're not in this situation, this is how you prevent it from happening. It is not your client's responsibility to contact you only during your working hours, okay? We can't put that on our customers. And if you work across time zones, this is even more important because no one's gonna check your time zone. So you have to build clear layers for your customers so they know exactly how to contact you and it's not complicated, it's very easy for them, and they know how to get the best out of you, basically. So as an example, I'll give you my setup. Layer one for me is email. If you don't get me by email and you feel like it's more urgent, my phone number is in my signature, so you can call me. If I don't answer, which I leave my phone on silent, so that's very likely that I won't answer, my voicemail actually says to text me for the fastest response. And that allows me to quickly check a text at a regular interim when I'm already planning to check my phone. So my phone doesn't ding and tell me there's a text message, but I do check it regularly throughout the day to make sure if there's something urgent that I can take care of it. But I can quickly see, is it really urgent or not, and then I can reply appropriately. And if I need more context, I can go grab that email, right? So let me also tell you guys, if you've ever hired someone and they've been all over the place, they probably have fallen into one or all of the traps that we've talked about today. And as the client, it is really insanely frustrating to deal with someone who is like this when you are trying to get things done, okay? So when you don't have a workflow that's clear for your customers and your clients in any business, all it does is create additional stress for your customer too, okay? So you're not doing anybody any favors. So you might think that the best customer service is responding to any client requests at any time of day, but in the end, I promise you what it's gonna do is it's gonna make you both crazy. So just to recap, we have these are the scheduling traps. And do not forget, by the way, to grab that planner above, because that's going to help you with your self-awareness, help you with your evaluation as you're tweaking things to get the absolute most out of your time. So our scheduling traps that I want to talk about today, I mean, of course, there are more. But missing out on peak energy and focus times, scheduling according to gurus, listening to those, I have to wake up at 5 a.m., I can only work out at 6 a.m., whatever, and then scheduling around your clients, stopping everything you're doing every single time a client calls, and not training your clients properly. So sort of creating an environment where it's just very frustrating and very confusing for everyone. So thank you guys for hanging out with me for this Top Tip Tuesday video. It will be pinned the entire week, and you are more than welcome to drop your workbook below, drop questions below, whatever you would like, and I will help you out. Thanks, guys.
Janae, thank you so much for sharing that information with us. I absolutely was blown away when I saw that video, and I wanted to share it with our audience. So thank you so much for sharing this with us. that means what that allowed me to do is create a custom YouTube URL. So our official YouTube channel name is now youtube.com/askawebgeek. And I'm so thrilled that that is true. Putting a little peppermint essential oil here on the back of my neck. Right now, peppermint essential oil. This one's by Young Living, the best one on the planet. Please let me know if you would have any more questions about Young Living essential oils. I'm basically a distributor. My wife is a distributor, but I am passionate about them as well. Ever since I discovered they actually work. So that is absolutely amazing. It's not something that just smells good. It's something that has real therapeutic benefits. So our first sponsor unofficial is Young Living. Thank you so much, because I just put peppermint all over my head, and that's going to make my my headache better. And right now it's making my eyes go, woo, it's fresh. I feel very minty. All right, here we go. Now my coffee is peppermint coffee. Delicious. The internet's a jungle. Roar!